Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Forgotten Conservative. It is, again, July 23rd, 7/23/2022, 0916. So I have met my goal. I didn't necessarily have to start the podcast because my goal is always to kind of at least stay awake, irrelevant of recording or not, but to stay awake past the potential time that I'm working tomorrow. I mentioned last Saturday night, which turns into Sunday morning, I didn't leave work till well after 9. I want to say for some reason 9:30-ish sticks in my head. So I was glad that I recorded as late as I did and obviously stayed up as late as I did last week. So that was my goal today, 9:30. And I'll probably still be recording at that time. But either way, even if I wasn't recording, I'd still would have met the goal without sitting down and recording. So last week, when I started the fifth hour, I wanted to kind of be succinct and bullet points. I wanted to try and get in and out. I think I stated in that hour that my I would be most pleased, maybe, is best way to put it. I would be very, very happy and satisfied with getting in and out in 10 minutes. I will settle if I can get in and out in 20 minutes. I'll take that as a victory. I don't know if I used those words when I kind of stated the goal going into the fifth hour, but that was kind of my mindset. Something along those lines. Next thing I know, it's 25 minutes. I'm trying to, you know, whatever. Again, I haven't listened to it yet for various reasons. Busy week, you know, million things to do, etc. But, you know, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, you know, then it at 50 minutes, you know, you're full time here, dude. You went the distance. So try to start, as they say, landing the plane. It's at 50 minutes. Of course, this app will go hours, but the podcast app that I use will only take 1 hour, not an hour and 1 minute or 1 second. I mean, well, I don't know that, but I know I can't post or publish a podcast, let's say at an hour and 2 minutes. That I do know. If it's a minute and 30 seconds or so, I don't know, but I don't want to chance it. Nevertheless, I go into hour five with that goal, plus, you know, kind of on the back burner, but I can quasi use it as an excuse, just like today. You know, I have that goal. But also my motivation last week was there were a couple topics. I know Trump was one that I wanted to touch on because I don't want to be misconstrued. And that's one area that I hope that I can accurately convey my thoughts going in. So I get concerned or worried, not worried per se, as a general definition of the term, you know, a worrier, because I'm definitely not a worrier. If I take the time to get back here and F with this computer, I don't want to be misunderstood. How about that? Fair enough. It hopefully it is, because that's the best way I can put it. So I think that's the Trump thing I wanted to address last week. But there was another topic that I thought I could address one real quick, get in there, speak my mind on whatever issue, item, whatever number two is, and speak my mind and get in and out. So come on, let's do one for the Gipper, paraphrasing Ronald Reagan, in fact. Wasn't my intention, but I think the movie reference, the story reference was appropriate. let's win one for the Gipper. As far as Trump, I don't know that this adds to it. I don't know that I personally need anything adding to the issues with Trump running. Again, I have a very strong principled belief that this country, if Trump was a current president and he's just running for re-election in 24, by all means, no questions asked, stay on the ticket. If this was 2020 and Trump was, you know, obviously as he was running back then in 2020 with my full support, no questions asked, no hesitation, not even, I didn't even want to hear negativity, because if I heard shit about Trump, especially President Trump, somebody I refer to as Donaldus Magnus. Now, I don't know if I've ever even disclosed that, but Rush was the first one I heard refer to Reagan as Rinaldus Magnus, or maybe Maximus. I think he kind of alternated at one point between the two terms. I think he ended up settling down with Rinaldus Magnus. I think he may have used the term with Donald Trump. Ronald rhymes. So you just change the R for a D. Donaldus Magnus. And it's either Greek or Roman, but it signifies, it would translate loosely into Donald the Great, or Ronald the Great. And don't quote me, this is I don't know when I learned stuff about, I would think if I guessed Rome, it was Roman origin, but either one, I think it was Roman or Greek. So the differentiation between Magnus and Maximus would be the great or the greatest. It's just to the best of my recollection. So that's how I felt. I put him on that Mount Rushmore, so to speak, with Ronald Reagan. So yeah, if I heard something, I was defending him. So at that time last Saturday or Sunday, whatever, Saturday, that I was clear. This is strictly an objective, thought out position, not based on anything other than the future of this country and what I think this country needs at this precise moment, given these precise circumstances. I think I may have touched base tonight on the word prudent or prudence. We all have heard prudential. I think there was a company, I don't know if they're still around, Prudential, had a rock. I could care less or not spending time remembering what they were. I just know that that's something that maybe some people are familiar with. They're that version of the word. Prudence in the classic sense from Aristotle in his explanation, and the way I treat or look at prudence, I think it's a fairly accurate way to explain it, but this is how I view prudence and how I think prudence is something I can't necessarily say for sure it's overused, but I think when some people use the word, that they don't use it in the accurate traditional Greek or Aristotle intent. Now, can I say that person, can I condemn that person's use whenever it happens? Not really, because so much of the language has been hijacked and or bastardized. So I don't want prudence to lose any more of its original intent than maybe it has already, if it has. Prudence is taking your character, who you are. Character derives from, I want to say Greek, but etching. So that's the significance of character, etching. So if you etch something in stone or metal or what you etch, it becomes permanent. It describes, it's a description. Okay, so that's where character comes from. So prudence, you take character, you take principles. This is one of the reasons why leaders, politicians, etc., have to have principles. Because there's certain times where prudence is the only answer, the only perfect right decision for that particular time in history will only come with the true meaning and definition of prudence. That's why principles and character matter. So back in the 90s, when all these dickheads said that, oh, it's Clinton's personal life, character, you know, schmerder, and we had to deal with that. Okay, prudence is why character and principles matter. That's why when you vote or support campaign, etc., for somebody, you want to make sure they have core principles. Why do you think I'm so pissed off at Donald Trump? Because he talks about draining the swamp. He campaigned on it. Now, he governed that way, okay, except for the financial department, you know. But again, I'll preface it with COVID. Not a pass. I'm not giving a man a pass. But for the most part, other than that, he governed in a conservative, principled manner. But he campaigned. His whole shtick was draining the swamp. And what has he done in the span of less than a month? One candidate, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, the chick from Alabama. Because that dude that she's replacing, that's retiring, the Republican, she was his chief of staff. And if you ask anybody that knows anything about that dude, you'd probably either say, I would imagine that educated person on this senator would either say, Mitch McConnell's back pocket, Rhino, Swish, or some variation, moderate, independent. But he would use any number of words if you ask somebody with knowledge of this retiring senator. They would use any number of words to describe him. The last that they would ever think or use is conservative. And I would even venture to say principled, but I would definitely say conservative would be the last word used to describe him or his votes or his political history, philosophy, etc. So when this chick that Trump supported was his chief of staff, what the hell do you think she is? How can you make an argument that that chick is not Rhino material, Swamp material, McConnell material, when she her claim to fame, her thing is, you know, yeah, I work for a Republican senator. You leave out the fact that he was a Rhino. You leave out the fact he was his chief of staff, which in essence equals translate code for closest advisor. And he votes and so forth like a Rhino. So that's why it pisses me off. Because Trump is not displaying conservative, principled decisions. Now again, that has nothing to do with why I don't think he should run. But I can promise you this much. With Trump supporting Rhinos and encouraging, supporting, maybe endorsing, or I'm looking, what's it called? I guess it's endorsing when you support financially. Okay, I mean, your name, your endorsement's number one. Potentially supporting financially, Rhinos. And so as good of a job as you did in 4 years, you're throwing swamp rats right back in the damn thing. You're endorsing them. You're giving them your name, your support, your money. You're putting your money where your mouth is, and both of those are on a Rhino. And now I'm supposed to somehow be convinced that my thinking is flawed on Trump running for president in this cycle. Well, obviously, 24. When my decision was made up before the Alabama primary, which is certainly made up, I think the Arizona primary's either this Tuesday or next Tuesday. So I didn't come to my conclusion based on those two incidents, or whatever you want to call them, episodes, examples. My decision was almost 100% confirmed to myself before I jumped back into everyday, so to speak, politics. I didn't want to be influenced. I didn't want my judgment clouded, inspired, manipulated in any way. I wanted to come to that conclusion on my own without outside influence. That's not, you know, I can't say that that was my whole motivation. It's just, it was a fringe benefit of it. And it was something that I decided, which I had mentioned at one point, you know, I'll jump back into this better, more consistently during the primaries. I made that assertion, maybe quasi-promise. I was still had this decision about Trump on my mind. I hadn't came to a conclusion, but it wasn't something front burner. I'm more concerned with me being out of the arena of politics in general, and how and if I would get back in, and if I did, what would be my passion? Where would my passion be? Which I think I've answered that question. Certainly I've answered it here tonight. But it being a way, like I said, a fringe benefit, did give me the opportunity to, I hate to say, think more clearly, and I would not want to say think more objectively. But again, basically, the best way I can put it is to think without outside influences. I came to that conclusion without outside influence. That doesn't mean that's the right decision. It doesn't mean that my mind cannot be changed. It just means that based on my definition of prudence, my character, my principles, under the, and prudence, I don't know if I finished, I probably didn't finish, squirrel, but prudence is the combination and the equation of solving of two equal parts, or two ways you arrive at prudence. Okay, if a math, you know, if 2 + 2 = 4, it takes two parts to get to the answer of the prudent, you know, the prudent answer, the correct, and oftentimes the only correct answer. I would say 100% of the time, the prudent answer is the only answer. Just hear me out. Just humor me. So I'm going to give you an example. 100% of the time, prudence is the right answer. It may not be the only, but 100% of the time, the prudent decision is the right decision. Oftentimes, in certain, especially political, geopolitical circumstances, the prudent answer may be the only way forward. In other words, if you F this up, if you get this wrong, you will be judged by history. Now, it's rare to have that significant of consequences pending on a single decision, but it's happened. It's not unheard of. And a lot of times, at the time, those prudent decisions had so much carrying on them, were not heavy, weighty, end of the world decisions at the time. They were not, you know, that's not how the prudent answer, it was done, it was made, the right prudent decision was made, but it wasn't recognized. It was just those types of decisions were made not by luck, not by happenstance, but because that particular politician had character, had core principles that he relied on, that he believed in, to with every ounce of his body, He believed in those principles. He demonstrated his character. And so the other part of the equation that you have to contemplate, this two-part equation, the easiest way to convey it, to articulate it, the other half of that equation is the existing circumstances that surround whatever you're deciding. So let's just, for lack of a better example, say bomb Iraq or something, you know. So you have to understand, you have to determine, is this something that you would believe in based on whatever action has brought you to this stage, this heavy, momentous decision, sending our guys into battle, and in essence, you're killing other soldiers. So it's not to be taken lightly, no matter what the motivation or justification is. So you have to dig deep in you, in your character and your principles. And is this a principle? Is the motivation behind this, let's say, I'm going to assume it's a retaliation. So is this retaliation, is this really something that I would believe in if we kind of use different circumstances, you know, the same premise, if possible, and it may not be possible to come up with an example. It may just be the dadgum existing circumstances. You got a country that was aggressive. We told them not to do something. They did it, and they're going to pay. How do I make them pay? Do I bomb them? That's the question before me. Do I send fighter jets over there, which is the least potential costly for American lives? And that's what your part of your determination is. If in a perfect world, you choose another, but to get your point across, this is the least dangerous for American lives. So you've got your principles and you determine, yes, this would be the right decision. Okay, well now you have to weigh the circumstances. So what are the circumstances? And I'm just guessing off the top of my head. But how long can, let's say, an F-18 or an F-22, how many miles can it fly before it needs to be refueled? Do we have an air base within that distance? Probably not. So now we either have to do mid-air refueling, which, even though it's common, is always runs a risk. You're a sitting duck, the plane with the fuel and the fighter jet. Is there an ally with the base nearby that our guys can land and refuel, which is much safer forever? You know, it's the prudent, it's the right thing to do. It's the easiest. It's, you know, that's where all directions point to. Mr. President, for example, your aide says, we don't have an ally in that area. Let's say Turkey, we're reaching out to the Turkish government and they're not answering. Which, in other words, he's saying, we can't land in, not only can we not land and refuel in Turkey, we can't even fly through their airspace. So when I talk about prudence and it being the combining of principles, character, taken with circumstances, the way I understand that word from Aristotle, that's my interpretation. I don't think I've ever looked the word up. I may have, but my definition of that, which changed of, you know, you hear in conversation, once I read that from Aristotle, that became my definition. And of course, I in no way can put it the way Aristotle did. But I guess that's the best way I can explain it. That's why character, that was in his book, The Ethics. I think it was The Ethics. But that's why character principles, again, I can't reiterate. And when Trump does something like this, you know, hey, dude, home team, you got two losses in this, at least two that I know of. And of all things, I could understand if they were House races. Yeah, not that I could give you a free pass. But of all people, you're endorsing, supporting people that McConnell. And McConnell, every time he got a chance, outside of the judges, and everybody says, oh, McConnell, look what he did with the judges, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I'm making a motion right now that if I was on TV, probably would not be advised. And hopefully you get the picture when people say that about McConnell. Because I equate them using, this is Republicans, almost in every circumstance. This crap is being espoused by Republicans. And they just praise him left and right for the judges and what he did in that regard. I have acknowledged his work there. I think he could have done more, but I'm pleased with what we did get given his history. How about that? So in other words, I'm giving him 100% full credit on the judges. I am not in any way taking anything away from McConnell on the judges. Every effing thing else that if he could sabotage Trump, well, I don't want to say everything because I don't know that definitively. I could say, you know, number one, healthcare. I think he, at least if he was not in on it, he was certainly not going to fight to stop it. Let's put it that way. And that was a serious issue that Republicans ran on for basically, at that point, 6 or 8 years to repeal and replace. And it was the Republicans in the Senate that prevented it. Primarily, I mean, John McCain, most, you know, that's what people think of. Coming out at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning with the thumbs down. And Trump, which I'll never forgive the man. Of course, he's dead and buried. But I'm telling you. And if I was an Arizonan, you know, I'd be spitting friggin' mad. I'm telling you, I'd be mad. Oh, as mad. No, not as mad. I'm more pissed off about the McCain deal than the Trump deal. I don't think Trump's that bad yet. But if this pattern continues, because I think his decisions are heavily based on the 2020, how this candidate is talking about it. And I've said before, I don't think a candidate in any individual race is, that shouldn't be their focus. It may be their focus in their brain on their agenda, but I don't necessarily think it's a smart campaign move. I'm not saying it's the wrong move, but I'm just saying leave the candidate with the autonomy that to campaign in his own way. And if he's a supporter of yours, or she, obviously, if he or she has a definitive track record of supporting you, much less volunteering, answering phones, so on and so forth, and the only bad thing you can think about or say or feel about that person is they're not campaigning, preaching to the choir about the 2020 election, and that's the determination of you pulling your endorsement. You know, I think some of the things that you've been accused of, you play into that. It's just my honest opinion. And I hate that I feel that way. But when you've supported two rhinos, well, one rhino that won, the chick that beat Mo Brooks, and you're supporting this chick in Arizona that primary, the vote is either this Tuesday or next Tuesday. And I just, kind of like my brother, and I'm sure I had guys like this. I know my brother, my middle brother, was the first thing that pops into my mind, I try to look for equivalent to convey my disappointment. This isn't quite the same, but it gives you an idea. So we grew up boxing fans. And this is in an era pre-Tyson. So one of the dudes was Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray had this awesome, clean reputation. Of course, the crap that people say about blacks, especially back then, he's clean, he's neat. And I'm just trying to give you an example, not exact quotes. He's articulate. Now, that was heavily used to describe certain black people back in the day that I found offensive. Because why is that word, when it's heard in English in speech, it's always referring to a black person? To me, that's one of the things offensive. But nevertheless, Sugar Ray Leonard had this pristine image. He was on commercials, endorsements, so on and so forth. But he had his fall from grace, like so many of the heroes do. And I don't recall if it was drugs or women or both. I just remember that he had a fall from grace and that my brother was distraught. Just like, I mean, I could have hit him in the gut as either with my fist or a baseball bat. I mean, I could have, obviously I wouldn't do something physical, but it was just like, this was just devastating. Huge, huge disappointment. And in those circumstances, at least if we're older, I think he was 10, 12-ish. So he may not have been able to contemplate this. I know in my life, if something's happened and I faced a similar circumstance, whether it be, I can't think of a celebrity right off, but probably more so in my personal life, when I've faced that type of disappointment that I saw my brother experience, I can remember a lot of times in my situation that I had this inner battle. Obviously, I'm disappointed in the person and whatever the words, actions, behaviors, etc. So in other words, whatever the injustice or whatever happened to cause me this disappointment in and of itself is strictly the original disappointment. Well, to me, I have another dilemma because there's a battle that I'm going to have internally. Whether or not it's normal, I don't know. I just know I've had it. I have had this other battle outside of the original crime or disappointment. And that is, who am I disappointed at and who deserves the disappointment? Did I falsely, give this person or whatever? Did I know, let's just use the word character, did I know that character, his character, we'll say his character, because ultimately we're going to assume that this was a character flaw and or character failure. So did I have this knowledge that either A, he didn't have character, or it was suspect, or you couldn't quite trust it? Did I have any flag, any red flag, any indication that there was a reason to The word that comes to mind is cynical. That's not what I'm trying to accurately state, but it'll work. Did he give you any warning? So depending on what that answer is, if the answer is no, was no warning, was it a failure on my part to recognize it? Was it his ability to hide it? Or giving him the benefit of a doubt, was it not this whatever incident, not based solely on character, but just a single instance of a lack of judgment, of weakness, etc. So you have that initial battle. Why are you disappointed? You know, you have the act itself, but why? Why does that act have that kind of effect on you? And then you start down that process of making that decision. Ultimately, at the end of the day, after that process is over, that who knows how long it takes, I hope that the answer is the guy hid this thing. It wasn't habitual. It wasn't a quote-unquote character flaw or failure. It was a one-time mistake. That's what I hope it is. The result would be. I just know when I think about that Sugar Ray incident that my brother was devastated. Now, that's too strong of a term for me and too Republican Senate primaries. Probably the best word that's coming straight to mind is disappointment. Huge, huge disappointment. Which reinforces my decision of Trump not running. And I personally, if somebody wanted to discuss it, I would be open to it. But assuming, let's say you took my original thoughts and argument, you know, my original conclusion, and you kind of thought, I'm not convinced. You make a very good point, but you know, I just, you know, I'm there. I think he's number one, whatever. You have your, but you're not ruling out my conclusion or decision, you know. To me, it is elementary when you factor in the reward, or I should say the reward, the endorsement of these two Rhino candidates. To me, in and of itself, those two independent decisions, if you gave my conclusions any honest look and reasons and understood, and then you throw in this man almost in a petulant manner, everything, one of the, you know, things that he was accused of, petulance, you know, reacting without thinking, holding a grudge, that's what he's doing. That's what he's displaying. In both cases, the candidates are not, you know, Mo Brooks did not espouse or preach or harp on the 2020 election like Trump thought he did. This chick is apparently the only reason, although I haven't heard it. If I come across it, you'll get it. But from it's all indications, she's not focused on the 2020 results. And the TV woman is. Not to mention both candidates are rhinos that he's supporting. Anyway, I'm not out of time, but let's just say I'm done. I don't know whether this will ever hit the air. I don't know. I'll have to listen to it and make a decision, but anyway, If it does, thanks for listening and playing along and joining us on The Forgotten Conservative.